Now at 7:03, do I hear a motion to start the meeting? Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. But first, let we start with pledge of allegiance. So if everybody would stand, the flag would be. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, let's take a moment and have a moment of silence. Prayer. Thing we have on the agenda tonight is the Ethics Board wants to have a few words.
Can everybody hear me okay? Do I need to stand up? Will it help with us? Can I take this off just a little bit so they can see
my mouth? Yeah, I don't care.
Just so you can see my mouth and not
we can hear you.
Yeah. So I received an anonymous, or I didn't, the Ethics Board received an anonymous letter that I want to first mention that I appreciate all letters, whether they're anonymous or not. I feel like there's nothing wrong with doing something anonymously. There's a saying that goes in people too, if you do something, say something. There's anonymous tip lines, and that's what it's for. And so I appreciate that, regardless of where it comes from or whether there's a name to it or not. So thank you, and I think that whenever we raise concerns like this, then we can settle it before it becomes an issue and then it comes to be a formal complaint and gets out of hand. We can address it and have a real open, honest conversation about things. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with showing concern. So first of all, one of the things that I wanted to say, I'm not going to read the letter, but if you guys have questions or if anybody's listening to the meeting and they have questions, feel free to reach out to me through my email or phone number, which I guess can be given to Bob or whatever, through Bob. But it basically, I'll just put it in short for you. One of the first points was that their concern was that under normal circumstances, a resident that had concerns regarding the maintenance of the city would contact a property maintenance commissioner who would then address the concern with the lawn service that he or she hired. However, in this case, our lawn service person and the property commissioner is one and the same, Mr. Harold Hall. The concern is that this is a conflict of interest. And while it certainly does appear this way, Mr. Hall was given the contract, he was awarded this contract before he was commissioner. So, and in our ethics, and this is not my opinion, this is straight out of the Ethics Board document, that is allowed because he was awarded the contract before he was commissioner. Now, that being said, he is not allowed to vote on anything that regards to him making money. So, if he is, and the contract is already set out, so there's, it would be hard for him and not impossible, but it would be difficult for him to make money off of this when there's already a set budget and a set amount of work that he has planned to do. But I know Mr. Hall would be absolutely happy to answer any questions if anybody has any doubts about what he's doing and if it needs to be done and how everybody came to the agreement on how much he pays himself, or he doesn't pay himself, let me rephrase that. That was a very general statement, but how he gets paid. But all that was decided before he had a vote on it. So that is one aspect of it. Let's see here. One of the other things was there is no law in our ordinance, in our ethics ordinance. Now, there is a KRS law that is out of our domain. That is not where we, it's out of my practice. So, but that's a KRS law that states that at the first meeting of every year, that they are allowed, that you're supposed to reassign the, or you can vote on or delegate the task. So perhaps the safety commissioner will now be the utility commissioner and vice versa. And this is switched at the beginning of the year at the first regular assembly meeting, regular scheduled meeting. It is my personal opinion, which nobody really asked for that, but I'm going to throw it in there. I don't see a problem with switching that up every year. I think that if that is something that you do, it might be a little bit of extra effort on each person's part. They're learning a new task and new responsibility. But I feel like if everybody learns something new, they'll better be able to answer the questions that are asked of them. How can you know whether you're agreeing on a good budget if you've never done that job and compared prices for a sign? How can you say that's a good price for a sign if you never did that job and looked it up yourself? So it's my opinion that every year you guys should switch those roles and learn as much about the other person's job as you can so that you have a comprehensive understanding of which of what that looks like and what it should look like. My two cents. But that's a KRS law, and that is not an ethics law. Some of the other things that were mentioned are not within our domain or whatever, but it's just not the ethics place to get input on. It's something that would be handled at the polls. There is nothing illegal or in the ethics board about how people politic. And you see it on commercials. One politician is going to lie about another, and blah, blah, blah. That has nothing to do with the ethics board, and people are going to do what they want to do to get a vote. So, and it's not my job to tell you who's lying or who's telling the truth. That's for you guys to decide. And because you guys are here in the meeting, you are aware of what you believe in and what you don't. So that's for you guys to question each commissioner and whatnot. Also, my personal opinion that it's one of the ethics rules that I guess is worth noting that even if something is considered to be a conflict of interest, there's also a section that addresses that if it benefits the city, if this conflict is actually benefiting the city, then it's okay. Now, who is to decide that it does or does not benefit the city is up to the people that you elect. This is not something that Harold would get to vote on. This is something that you guys would vote on. Whether you believe what's happening is benefiting the city or not, and that's for you guys to decide and talk to your constituents about, and that's not my place.
What's benefiting?
So, for example, this is just what I know from what I know of Harold, okay? So, Harold, one of the things that I know about him to be true is that he never really wanted this position as a commissioner to begin with. He did it because there was, from what I understand, there seemed to be some sort of a shortage at one point in time. So, this is at one point. That doesn't mean that that's consistent to the end. But at one point, there wasn't going to be someone running, and then that person changed their mind. So, we're just going to use that as an example, whether you believe this to be true or not. Okay?
I have no opinion one way or the other.
Okay. Well,
the commission, there's nothing you can do that until the next election.
Right, right.
To go back behind all that and look behind that is stupid. That's stupid, but not helpful.
Well, so I'm explaining what the benefit of this would be, because he asked, what would the benefit be? So, the benefit would be, he's not making any money. He's giving us, I'm not saying that this is fact, but a benefit would be, if you compare his prices to, let's say, three other people's prices.
Well, the only benefit that he's getting, or the only money he's getting, is just doing the
dollars.
So
if he decides,
I'm going to finish my sentence.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. So if they I'm not saying he is. I'm giving you an example because you asked of an example of what a benefit would be. I don't know what his prices or how much this person or that person. That's not the point I'm making. If you get three bids, hypothetically, and his was lower than anybody else's as commissioner, and you and the commission and everybody decides that he still has the best rate, even as commissioner, and all of them or the majority votes and they agree that that it benefits the city, and he is not out to take the city or make a dime off of us, then it would be okay within the ethics. The ethics document states that that's okay if it's determined that he's benefiting the city by being the property commissioner and having this contract. That's not up to me to decide. I'm not a commissioner. So, but that's what that means. Was that a long-winded? Did I need to shorten it up? If I didn't make that clear, feel free to challenge that. Would you like to?
No, my question, but my only concern, and I think was in the letter, and I wish you had read the letter, but that's up to you whether you do or not, but the fact that he decided what new plants needed to go in, he decided what trees needed to be trimmed, he decided everything that needed to be done as far as the landscape maintenance, and it's his company that's doing it.
So that was voted on before he was commissioner?
No. That was voted on at the budget meeting.
But whoever voted on it agreed that that was okay. So it was voted on. You guys apparently approved this. Is that correct?
Well, what he does when he is about to do something, he
brings it up.
He brings it up, and then they vote on whether he should plant a pear tree.
Now, which trees are you talking about trimming?
No, I'm just given examples of
I appreciate that because I think this is the only way we'll be able to clear this up is if you do challenge the thought and then I can explain it or we can get input.
I know you had mentioned that you had some questions and concerns about should the person that's deciding what gets done be the person that's doing it.
So that goes back to the part where I was saying he does not get to vote on that. He brought a document to the commission that says these open spaces need this. This open spaces need to get rid of these rose bushes because they are past repair. These trees are doing this. These are a hazard for roses. He brought a document to you guys and you guys voted on it. He does not get to vote on that. That's where he is not his own boss. You guys are his boss.
Do we know that he voted for it?
It says, I mean, I would assume it was voted on. I have a document that, did you guys vote on?
That's a bid proposal.
But so then that was approved before he was in commission.
Right.
So it was approved before he was even a commissioner.
Yeah, but if he brings new work to him, I agree with you.
Yeah.
He comes in and says, I think we should do
it. Well, that's what he's been doing. He's been bringing new work, and he's brought it in and had it voted on.
And if he has voted on that, and I didn't catch that and forgot that part of the ethics ordinance, but if it would have passed anyway without his positive vote, then I think we're okay. But prospectively, I appreciate you bringing that to bear because you're right. He can't vote on anything that is a contract that has to do with a contract with the city.
Here's one of the examples. 2 months ago, it was brought up we needed to change some electrical boxes on Boynton and the flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he brought that up, brought how much it was, and we voted on it. That was done by a contractor. That was not done by Harold. That was
contractor. The contractor out?
The commissioner did. Not Harold. Harold knew that it had to be done as a commissioner, and he had the contractor. He got the bid for the contract.
He could vote on that because it's not.
As long as it didn't go through his company, correct?
Right. It didn't go through his company.
It cannot go through his company. He has to contact a different company, whatever.
Uncommon work for him.
Right.
Yeah.
It has to be approved by a majority vote.
Right.
Then he can't vote on it.
Right.
Right.
So the problem is if he came in and said, let's put in five pear trees, and then he cast, and it was a 2-2 vote, do it and not do it, and he cast a positive vote, then that's
why. That'd be a problem, yeah.
But I don't think that's what we have.
Harold's not with him.
No, in fact, the Johnson Electric that's on this, I'm going to pass this out to get it started. Johnson Electric on this is who did the electrical work. And Harold just got the, he went out to find the contractor to do it because Harold didn't know anything about it. So the commissioner is just doing in what's in the best interest of the city. Now, as far as the trimming and whatever else has to be, the weeding and stuff, that's all been pre-priced in the bid.
Well, that's what he does. He does. He goes and cuts the yards. He maintains the facilities. He cut all the bushes down and the trees.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
That he does.
That's neither here nor there.
Right. So, anyhow.
So, I think that it's important that, Harold's a straight-up guy. He's going to be honest with you. He's not going to get upset. I personally think that it could benefit the city. Like, what better person to complain to if you don't think that the job is getting done well than the person who's getting paid to do it? So if you don't like the way it's getting done, it is absolutely okay to call the property commissioner, who is the one who will be like, oh, thank you for telling me. I must have missed that spot, and he can go fix it. Now, if it doesn't get fixed, feel free to bring it to a city meeting where it can be brought up in public, and then we can talk about it in that capacity. Like, that doesn't mean that he's got free of responsibility or accountability. Like, he still is held accountable by the rest of the commission. So, he is...
They all are.
Yeah.
So, have you determined that there's not an ethical breach?
That from what was brought to me, of course, keep in mind...
Yes or no answer, and then you can explain it.
There is not an ethical breach on what was brought to me.
Okay, then this is over. I don't think we need to discuss it.
I want to make sure that everybody's clear.
Okay,
so that
I think that's clear.
Because I don't want it to end up with a official ethics complaint. This is not an official ethics complaint. So that's why I want to make sure that everybody's satisfied and that this is the end of it. Because this hasn't been the end of it for a long time. So if I'm here...
What do you mean by that?
I've had complaints about it or people talking about it. I want to smush the conversation. And I think the only way to do that is give everyone a voice and an opportunity to talk about it and ask questions.
If they have questions, then you come to me.
Absolutely. So that's what I'm here for to do. And if anybody has any other questions, I feel like I've said what I need to say. Does anybody have any questions on that?
So it's the bottom.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say, since you are part of the ethics board?
I'm part of the other board. What I have to say is, when he does something, and when he got the bid, it was given to him because he was the honorable person and he wasn't out to make money on it. He has done a fantastic job in the city already. Some people don't think so, but he has. And if he says that he bought 12 geraniums, that's what he buys, but he tries to get the best price he can for us. And now, because he has done such a great job, somebody is trying to knock him down.
So, I'm talking about from the ethics perspective. Do you have anything that you'd like to say? That's more of a personal...
No, I'm talking about whoever sent that letter.
Okay, well, that's out of our...
Also, talk is going around that he's trying to make money on stuff.
No, well, I'm in business to make money. That's what I do. If I didn't make any money, I mean, I wouldn't do.
Well,
that's
not what we're talking about.
Does the person who sent the letter have a landscaping business?
No.
Okay.
We don't know who's
been
supporting. I don't even have an issue with the fact. Like, I think that is something that is irrelevant. If somebody has a concern, it is our responsibility to address it. I appreciate somebody asking and raising concerns whether they have a legitimate reason, whether they signed their name or not. Somebody has a concern,
but I think
that's
what you go over. If you and Sylvia and anybody else have determined that there hasn't been
an ethical violation. There is not an ethical violation based on what I have.
I think we're over this. I mean, that's up to the mayor.
Yep.
All right.
Let's move forward. All right. Even though it's not on there, citizen participations or anybody else's. Is there anybody in your office got something to say? Yes, ma'am.
I've got a good thing. the lace, nice. You know, I was like, you're really giving me something? Okay, so the light is nice. Also, I don't know, I always know where the dogs come from, but some pit bulls have been roaming in the neighborhood.
Some what?
Pit bulls. You know, when you try to walk, you know, they're kind of scary. If you saw one of them come out of a certain house or yard, you know, you might know, but... You know, there they are.
Well, you know, you can call animal control. It's called.
Okay, just call animal control.
If you call 311, call 311.
That is it. That's what I need to know.
And tell them where you saw the dog. If you have any idea who you believe the dog owns, then you need to give that address. They'll jump all over that.
But if I don't know, just call 311.
Yeah, but tell them, is it a regular time that they're loose, or is it...
Early in the morning. You know,
you need to tell them where you see them, and it's early in the morning, and they'll be out there.
Will do.
All right.
And
yeah, they were out in the neighborhood last week, because they sat on the street that I live on for like 20 minutes.
Really?
And then went down and around somewhere. They were looking for something. It was obvious, because come back about 15 minutes later, and sat down at the end of the cul-de-sac again. I think they were looking for that dog to come through the easement. I think that was just my thought, because it was on the street like three times before he finally left.
One more thing. Does anybody monitor the easements, especially those that are overgrown?
Easements are the responsibility. If it's not backed up to the green space, those are the responsibility of the property owners.
That's what I thought. So, and if they don't do it...
Well, 311.
311 again?
And you can tell them that there's... Yeah, that's a nuisance. So call 311 and say this address, the grass is too long.
Okay, it's the easements behind the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they have GPS on their little tablets.
Uh huh.
Because Dennis and I got a call from another person who had a dead tree, and they thought it was on the green space.
Uh huh.
And luckily, I had the plaques. And Dennis and I went out and talked to the person and gave her the measurement to show her, no, it's on your
property.
Yeah, so now she's moving her fence, so she says.
Okay, good enough. That's great. Okay.
All right. Anything
you
else?
Letting us use part of your yard.
Yeah, it's nice. It's worth it using part of my yard. Okay.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay. Let's move along to the next item. The June minutes. Everybody received a copy of the June minutes. Is there any corrections or anything that need to be done to them? All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the June minutes?
I'll make a motion to accept the June minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right, the minutes pass.
I would like to say to you that I appreciate every word you said, but I don't want to be here any longer than I have to. You know, I think that the whole idea of these meetings is to be brief and get out. So I am very thankful that you brought this to the commission's attention and to the people sitting here. But once you got off, I think you got off track. That's what my wife says to me all the time. I'm telling the story and I got off track. But you all have done a great job. And I appreciate you coming in here and saying what you have to say, but I just want to get out of here.
Okay. All right. We're moving along.
I'm not stopping you because I'm leaving the fest.
Okay. All right. Everybody get their treasury reports. Everybody find everything to the penny again. How many months is this now? 18? 19? Anyhow, do I hear a motion to accept the monthly treasury report? Thank you, Commissioner Babil. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right. It's announced again. All right. As soon as I do my initialing here, it looks like there's no complaints on the expenses, so we'll move along because that's the approval with the initials. City Attorney.
Okay, I'll try to be brief and not verbose, and that's kind of redundant. But Robert asked me earlier today if provide the information about Bill's company. And I don't know what he wants it for, but I'm going to try to find that contract and any emails related to that. I just ran out of time. And we've had numerous, we always have these questions about unpaid taxes, and when sometimes properties are transferred and the liens were not picked up. So we're all doing a yeoman's job on that, Dan, Doug, me. So we repeatedly provide that information, and we're getting revenues, additional revenues from the city by getting paid for unpaid taxes. Now, Robert sends me this right here, and then I print the statute. Now, KRS 243 has been in existence forever, it's ABC stuff. So what, in light of the virus, a lot of people, a lot of distilleries, breweries, and wineries were saying, look, you need to amend the statute. And it's always been there, but it's basically been changed for out-of-state entities that produce alcoholic beverages. Because people are complaining that, you know, the restaurants are closed and stuff, and they want to fix, all right? So you won't find the word fix anywhere. So, but they amended this KRS 43 and added a new section, which basically says that these entities, if they secure a license, can mail to a common carrier alcoholic beverages to consumers. Consumers are people who consume the alcohol. So the idea is that, and Robert became aware of this and says, let's see what we need to do. So I rolled it down, I printed the statute, and I kept thinking about it. So, and Linda and I were incredulous about, well, how do they know who the consumers are? Well, when this order is placed and it's delivered, the carrier has a form, and the person who receives the goods has to prove that they're over 21 years of age. They have to have an ID. They don't have to be the one who ordered it. So if I was at Linda's house and she ordered a bottle, a glass of wine or a bottle of wine, I happen to be there to tell them that I'm 21 years of age and they were good. But then I got a sign for that. And on that invoice are the common carrier fees and this cost of the alcohol, and then the regulatory tax that the city, Bob wanted to know, wanted me to prepare an ordinance and have a first reading. So the question becomes whether the commission, by a majority vote, wants to tax the cost of the beverages that are delivered to consumers that are residents or owners of property within the city of Williamson Hills. So we need to pass a regulatory license fee tax in order to do that. And then what happens is similar to the insurance premiums. The city has a tax on insurance premiums, and that those and the insurance companies have to think, what do we get? Twice a year?
Quarterly,
we get a percentage of the premiums that are paid by people for insurance who reside in the city of Louisville. So it would be done the same way. I'm not sure. I think it's quarterly. But anyway, let me read this in. I don't know which ordinance number this is. Do we know? 4? This is the ordinance number 4, first reading, series 2020, a city of Williamson Hills, Kentucky, alcoholic beverage regulatory license fee tax. Within the statute, it keeps talking about regulatory license fee, but then there's a section that says this is a fee, is a tax. Be it ordained by the city of Williamson Hills commission that Section 1, city incorporates by reference to applicable sections of KRS Chapter 243. You can do that. The order.
Hang on a second. You missed the whereas where it says additional revenues to improve.
All right. But the city needs additional revenues to improve city services and maintain its real property.
Right.
Right. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't read that. I thought, okay. Be it ordained by the Williamson Hills Commission that Section 1, city incorporates by reference to applicable sections of KRS Chapter 243. When a lot of ordinances or statutes are passed that are complicated, within that statute, there's empowering language that regulations can be drafted to embellish upon and further explain the procedures that are required by that statute. So, Section 2, and I just arbitrarily took 4%, can be any percentage. A city 4% gross receipt consumer regulatory license fee tax shall apply to the total purchase price of alcoholic beverages delivered to city residents.
Sorry, I didn't catch that. You can also try that.
I'm sorry. Did I hit the wrong button? Beverages delivered to city residents from beverage manufacturers pursuant to Kentucky statutes and regulations. They can't do it unless they have a license to do it, okay? So, and they're passed and approved by the city of Wilmington Hills on August, whatever August meeting would be pursuant to Kentucky law. So that's for the commissioners to chew on or to think about until the next meeting. So I'll prepare it and make it solid. I'll re-amend the record next time and you all can vote on it.
Now, is that's 4%. Just say it's $100. 4% is $4.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
Does everyone understand why I brought this up? I don't know if you all did, but I received two or three of these reminders that I believe this has to be in by the end of August. Okay?
Oh, right. And you know what? That's a good point. It has to be done by August 1st. So this has to be a special reading. It has to be voted on tonight.
No, we can do a special meeting.
Well, we can between now and then. That's
yeah.
Correct.
We're right.
Going to vote on it tonight. That's
right.
A very good point.
We can't vote on it because we have to two reads.
So very good. We have to have a special meeting.
And that's basically come out here, read it, and be done with it, you know?
I don't want to wait till the very end of the month.
No.
We have to record.
We have to do what we have to do, okay?
I have a question. When you say total purchase price of alcoholic beverages, now that it's manufacturer taxonomy fee for delivering it, do we get 4% of the total of...
No, I think it's just not on the delivery. No, it's just
the
beverage
itself.
Right.
Okay.
So.
And how do they keep up with that?
They have to sign a report.
I didn't hear what you said.
Okay, each consumer if you order alcohol, Linda.
I heard you say about signing.
You're going to have to sign a form that say you ordered this and you received it, and then every so often, before the end of each quarter, each provider of alcoholic beverages who sent stuff to residents and said, prepare a report that goes to ABC and their names, addresses, and the volume and the cost of the beverages they consume
right.
are going to be on that report.
Okay.
It's just like the insurance tax.
Okay, I understand that.
Okay, that's the reason why I got interested in it, because when I thought, that's the easiest, we don't have to collect it. It's just basically done through the system. They wanted this law. By golly, we don't have any businesses within City of Wilmington Hills per se.
Exactly.
Retails.
Right.
Okay. So.
You know what I was surprised to find out on the webinar, excuse me, was that dry counties can get alcohol beverage shipped to them through the mail.
Right. But now there's a whole section on dry counties. I didn't belabor myself, I had a kind of glance at it, but there's also a section about dry counties.
So,
and I don't really know what it says, because if they're dry, they're dry. It just seems to me that they shouldn't be able to receive alcoholic beverages within that county.
So do we want to do the 4%, 5%, or 6%?
Well, that's a decision you can make.
What's pretty standard? Meeting.
Well, this is...
I saw I think five.
Five is easy to figure.
Yeah. Let's change it to five.
Okay. All right, that's good. Good idea.
Are you all okay with this before I make Steve go through all this work?
Yes.
Okay.
So it will come in, do I understand then, every so often then they will send a check?
Quarterly.
Yeah, there has to be a sale within the city, though.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so if you want to test it, I've seen some ads out there, buy six bottles, get six free, okay, of wine and stuff. So
put on signs, drink a lot at home.
Right.
Order.
But this caught my eye. If I got it three times, I was like, I need to look at this.
I still pick up pennies.
Yeah.
Would that because Harold has several of the Maker's Mark, you know, they make them for special occasions.
Yeah.
So in other words, if he ordered one like that through the mail, then it would be like a 5%
cost of the alcohol.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Okay. The theory in my mind that someone, the whole world is a public record.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how much you're drinking.
If you go out to the insurance commissioners or the insurance site, there's a page. There's actually a Excel file that you can drop down that tells every city within Kentucky that has taxes or not on insurance. So this is the same thing. This is going to be
One of the discussions that I had with someone today. Bob will remember, and we all remember, that when the insurance premium tax started, every person who lives in Jefferson County, their mail-in address is Louisville, Kentucky. So these insurance companies were sending all these premium taxes to the city of Louisville. What did they do? They didn't say, well, they just kept it. So we lost money. There's like 80-some little cities in Jefferson County.
82.
So then the insurance companies were informed they had a duty then to determine if and there's a way to do it. They can check the TVA that if it was going to City of Louisville Hills or whatever. So that was all straightened out. I told someone today in government that, you know, we don't want to have that problem again. That these providers who are mailing beverages to the City of Woodland Hills need to know that it's not the City of Louisville, but our city. And they said they're working on that.
That's okay. All right. Anything else, Steve?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, is there any objection to setting up a special meeting for either Thursday or Friday? Anybody do it?
I can't do it Thursday.
Okay, Friday. Harold will be back on Friday.
What time?
It'd be early. We just come out here and stand in the parking lot.
Okay.
Doesn't take no time.
I mean, you're talking about 7 o'clock or earlier?
No. We're talking daylight hours.
Right. See, you know, I can get out here at daylight hours.
Too. Okay, what time is good for you?
I don't have my calendar, but I don't think that I'm, you know, I know I have to be in court on Friday. You just tell me and I'll be here on Friday.
9:30? What's good for you? 9 o'clock? 9:30?
Yeah, before it gets really hot.
Yeah,
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
You talking about the 24th or the 31st?
The 24th.
No, I'm talking about this Friday.
The 24th.
That's the 24th.
Yeah.
9 a.m. here.
Yeah.
Right, if I have a problem, I'll call you.
Wait a minute. If nothing else, I can read
it. I'll tell you right now.
Can I just read it?
Yeah, you could do that, sure.
Sure.
He thinks he can do better than Charlie and I.
I didn't know.
Well, I'll change the ordinance to fit and
okay.
Then I'll email it to everybody.
Okay. So it's 5%. It's ordinance number 4. We'll take care of it.
Number 4. That's a deal.
All right. Nothing else, Steve?
I'm finished. Thank you.
Any old business somebody wants to talk about?
I have a question one of my neighbors asked me to ask.
Mm-hmm.
She lost her tax bill,
mm-hmm.
and I gave her the info. You know, where she to email the info at City of Worthing Hills. But
I haven't heard from anybody
is
from
that,
your area.
Is that email, I mean, does
It hits Beth, Dan, and me.
Okay, because she was afraid it would go into delivery.
No. Beth's gone, I'm getting them, I'm taking care of them. If I knew her name, I could.
Okay, I'll
tell her. Yeah, tell her to email it, and I can get it in the morning.
Okay, thank you.
I want to thank whoever is responsible for buying the new flag. Thank you.
It looks beautiful.
You're
welcome. It is beautiful.
Well, you asked for it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's a good one, too. It's got the solar protection on it and everything.
Okay. That's great.
And I did lower it today. For the congressperson that just passed away.
Senator Lewis.
Senator Lewis.
Yeah, he was a good man.
Any new business?
That was very nice of you, Mayor.
We noticed that that's post office when we went today, so I asked Dennis, who is it? He says, oh, I think it was that congressman. I said, well, maybe we better go to the lower the flag.
Aye.
Hey, not that I wouldn't have done it had I known, okay?
I had a question for Linda. Did you ever find out anything about that MSD on the skirtings, the road you come by the house on that?
No. In fact, Linda and I had talked about it, and we wanted an MSD person to meet with us and go to, there's three or four that really need to be looked at and go with us, but with COVID and everything, it's just like on hold.
Okay. I just wondered, you know, I just don't want it to get dropped out of sight.
Yeah. And you did?
We might need to pick that up again, but see if...
Well, yeah, because it's going to tear up the roads, you know.
Yeah. Let us work on it. We'll work on it again. But we wanted them to come out and do the. There were like four.
Yeah, because right now I have got I dug a 4-inch trench in the yard to go over toward that drainage.
Wow.
So the water can run.
The water can run. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry,
Mr. Rice. No problem. New business. Okay, guess we're ready for the commission's reports. Dennis, why don't you go first?
All right. I drove the city on multiple occasions, went to storage yard with Mayor Stoneham on two occasions, went to Louisville Mail with Mayor Stoneham on one occasion. Mayor Stoneham and I put the flag up and turned the old flag into VFW Post 1170. I answered two phone calls concerning parking. I went to the post office with Mayor Stoneham each Friday. That's all I got.
All right, thanks. Commissioner Campbell.
Okay. July 13th, 2020, met with Sylvia Laporte to discuss the best way to welcome new residents to the city of Worthington Hills. We shared several ideas of what could be included, including a letter of welcome, room key information, proper pet protocol, parking information, etc. When appropriate, the ordinance would be cited, information provided where they could find the entire ordinance. We also would include items chosen to make an attractive gift bag, such as pens, soaps, picture frames, tape measure, etc., from Dollar Tree. This attractive gift bag would be delivered personally, new residents welcomed, and questions answered. Also on July 13th, received a call from Safety Co. Workers were in the city of Worthington Hill to move three signs to new locations and reset three corner street signs that were crooked. I accompanied them to each location. They did a great job and all are in place.
You might put masks in there too.
Pardon?
In the gift box, was their gift thing.
Oh.
Put a mask so when you show up, you can, if they don't have a mask, you can say, here, we're going to give you this if you put a mask on.
Let me add that. A mask. Thank you. Okay.
This is going away on November 4th. Commissioner Bedell?
Completed weekly street light checks and with one outage at Casella and East Bay Court. I returned two phone calls from property owner Vic Taylor. He's brand new to the city, concerning the collection of garbage and yard waste. I sent postcards to two property owners reminding them of the protocol required by Rumpke for removing furniture and bedding, which is it has to be wrapped in plastic. Mm-hmm. And I'm pleased to report that the streetlight project is officially completed.
Thank you, Linda. You did a great job.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
I'm taken to death that we got 9
new streetlights. Really? We got two new ones on our street. They just installed one.
Is it really helpful?
2 days ago. Very bright.
Uh-huh. One neighbor not really liking it, though.
It's very bright.
Well, the first thing I noticed was my first week as commissioner when I did streetlight checks. I said, that's some of the darkest places I've seen them all. Are there houses down there? I mean, you couldn't see them from the main street. You couldn't see the houses on the cul-de-sac. So, and that literally, I mean, it got started in about February, and now here it is, almost 2 years passed, but we finally got them in. So, and I have to thank the property owners who were nice enough to let us access their property, because we asked them and they said no.
I wonder what they're doing.
Hey, pardon?
Nothing.
But Ms. O'Neill, now she was from Mike's backyard. And I had someone ask me, was it that pole awfully close to your driveway? And I said, I trust Ms. O'Neill backing out.
Yeah, I never go that way. Yeah.
Is that it, sir?
That's it.
All right. So, with that, do we have any more questions or comments from the audience? This is citizens' participation at the end of the meeting. Okay. Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Good job, everybody.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Y'all have a nice evening. Thank you very much.